You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Mary Kate McCoy with a story about poetry and farming.
The poetry in Daniel Smith's book, Ancestral, reflects on life and farming in the Driftless area of Wisconsin. WPR's Tim Peterson spoke with him about his poetry on an early spring day in his barn near Arena, Wisconsin. Smith shared three poems about heritage, loss, and an appreciation for the wild.
I thought I would start with a poem called Anvil, which deals with the move to this land that we are standing on this morning and leaving our ancestral home, a farm in northwestern Illinois. Anvil. I've hauled my father's anvil due north, up out of the black Illinois farm ground. He and I together worked decades our home. Set down 60 pounds onto the floor of this old barn, new only to me. All around, our bewildered tools hang in the strange light of the cracked window pane, where I stand looking out over land not yet home. It is growing late on a late winter's day. At my feet, my father's anvil, his striking song of steel on steel, still hammering home. This next poem is about a neighbor of mine who passed away several years ago. A man had welcomed us to our new home here in Wisconsin and then suddenly became ill and passed away. And it's called A Farmer Dies in Springtime. Home from the hospital to a bed with a view of the fields. Tended by hospice, who arrive morning and night like a hired man come to chore. Neighbors stop by, sit bedside, stare into their hands, red and cracked from winter. They recall the year of the early frost, flood, or big drought. They avoid talk of the plowing or planting, of the futures for cattle or corn. The tractor, disc, and planter stay locked in the shed with seed bought months ago when the new catalogs arrived, glossy with promise and primed for a year that would not be. Now that I have grandchildren, one of my inspirations for writing is to share things with them that I hope they'll read when they get older, and that they still live in a world that gives them beauty and an appreciation of nature. One day while I was walking, I came across a red fox, which is rare to find in the open, and I wrote this poem for my grandchildren called The Red Fox. I saw a red fox drinking from the horse pail in the pasture south of the barn. A winter sunset blazed upon his hide, and his black ears pointed toward the early stars. Suddenly aware, he bolted for the dark woods, but I did not follow. It was enough to know he exists, to know this world still shelters the rare and the wild.
Daniel Smith is a poet and president and CEO of Cooperative Network. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Mary Kate McCoy.
Now, Wisconsin is an outlier when it comes to alcohol, with higher rates of drinking and of binge drinking than the country as a whole. During the pandemic, alcohol-related deaths spiked here in Wisconsin, as they did around the country. But even before the pandemic, Wisconsin had a long-running upward trend in deaths caused by alcohol, almost tripling the rate from roughly 7 per 100,000 people in 1999 to 19 by 2020. Federal surveys have also consistently found that Wisconsinites are among the least likely to consider binge drinking a risky behavior. Our next guest joins us for a look at dangerous drinking, why it's such a problem in the state, and what it means for our health. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on Wisconsin's drinking culture? Whether you've lived here all your life or you moved here from somewhere else, do you notice different attitudes toward drinking and toward binge drinking in Wisconsin compared to other places? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Maureen Buzalaki is the director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Maureen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Let's start with binge drinking. In 2019, about a third of Wisconsin adults reported binge drinking in the previous month, second highest in the nation after North Dakota at that time. Can you tell us more about that number and what we mean by binge drinking?
Sure. Binge drinking is 4 drinks in a 2-hour period for women and 5 drinks in a 2-hour period for men. And the reason why we say that is because then you're at 0.08. the legal limit. So I don't think folks necessarily understand, how alcohol affects them and how much. And excessive alcohol use not only includes binge drinking, but also heavy drinking, which is considered 1 to 2 drinks a day, drinking while pregnant, and underage drinking. In terms of excessive alcohol use, every county in the state of Wisconsin has a higher rate of drinking than the national average. We're the only state where every county is above the national average.
Can you talk about some of the health consequences of our excessive drinking?
Yes, there's many. There's fully attributable deaths, including cardiomyopathy, liver disease, which I think a lot of us associate with fetal alcohol syndrome, and many others. And then there are acute deaths like alcohol poisoning, suicide, other kinds of injury-related deaths, with motor vehicle crashes, falls, suicide, homicide, firearms, aspiration, drowning, fire, hypothermia, and I could go on. And then chronic deaths associated with, partially attributable to alcohol, which is cancer for the mouth, throat, larynx, esophagus, larynx, breast, liver, and colon, heart disease, stroke, hypertension, pneumonia, and seizure disorders, to name a few.
I've had a lot of conversations over the years tackling the question, why Wisconsin? Why this focus on alcohol, particularly in Wisconsin? I've heard a lot of different answers floated and dismissed. What are some of your thoughts on that, Maureen?
Well, we have an interesting history. We weren't always like this. We had a number of leaders in the temperance movement. So we have kind of a varied history. In the last 20 years, we've seen Wisconsin policies change to allow alcohol in more and more places. In other places, it's not common to have alcohol in gas stations and certainly not cold or single serving, in gas stations. We find it at pretty much every event, it seems like. There's almost anything, even music festivals that are geared towards families and kids often will have alcohol with them. And then we are pretty liberal with our licensure. So we allow a lot of alcohol retail and bars and restaurants. And in other states, you've got like 1 alcohol license per 3,000 people in New Jersey or 1 to 1,500 in Idaho. In Wisconsin, the average is 1 for 354 people.
I want to get back to some of the consequences now, Maureen. And I think it may be hard to see this from within Wisconsin. When we stack up alcohol health consequences and compare them to the rest of the country. You mentioned that that county by county average, which is pretty striking. What are some of the other ways this shows up in Wisconsin's health consequences from alcohol being worse than the rest of the country?
So we have a very high number of liver transplants, you know, in comparison to other states, you know, based on our size. So that's certainly, and there's a number of healthcare consequences to the excessive alcohol use that we have in our state. So there's a number of injuries. We often think about motor vehicle injuries, but there's many others. We have very significant number of falls, you know, every year that are attributable to alcohol, you know, in the 500 range, which I think if you think about that, that's really high. And we lead the nation overall, as I understand it, in falls, you know, and so alcohol definitely contributes to that number.
We're talking about Wisconsin's drinking culture and the health consequences of our heavy drinking in the state. Maureen Buzalaki is with us, director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the Medical College of Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Coming up, we'll look at possible policy alternatives. You could join in. What do you think could be done to address high rates of binge drinking in Wisconsin, heavy drinking overall? What support do people struggling with alcoholism need? What are barriers to getting help? Are there changes you'd like to see related to alcohol in your own community? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We continue our talk with Maureen Buzalaki, director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the Medical College of Wisconsin, about why Wisconsin has among the highest rates of binge drinking in the nation, the health consequences of that, and what policy alternatives could be on the table. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you think Wisconsin's culture affects alcohol consumption? Are there changes you'd like to see in state or maybe local law and regulations? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Maureen, let's get into public policy now. Are there changes that, say, other states have made that have helped them move in a better direction that maybe we could learn from here in Wisconsin?
Yes, for sure. The State Council on Alcohol and Other Drug Abuse released a report on excessive alcohol and what policies could be helpful, and they named 61 recommendations. And so they range from things that can be done in civic organizations, for example. You know, if there's an organization hosting a fundraiser of some sort, perhaps not serving alcohol or, you know, being very limited in how much alcohol is being served to send a message, right, in terms of the culture in the community. Looking at local government, there's a number of things they can do with alcohol licensing, you know, to make sure that we don't exceed how many licenses that we want in a population, you know, looking maybe at around schools and thinking about, you know, how much do we want people to see as they're walking to school? You know, so there's a number of different kinds of things that they can think about. Now, you have to be careful with licensing to make sure that you're being, you know, even-handed and handling every license the same. But there are definitely things that can be done, especially with festivals, for example, you know, and making sure that if there's alcohol served, that it is in, as you know, a separate area, that people are being checked for the ID, and again, that they're not over-serving the patrons.
I think a lot of times when we talk about alcohol abuse, we look at individual solutions, whether that's, you know, a character flaw of the person, or we need to focus more on treatment, and treatment is important, of course. Do you think we pay enough attention to bigger picture, community and policy stuff?
We have communities all over the state that are making a lot of changes and, you know, really looking at the alcohol environment. But I would say overall, I think there's a lot more that we could do on the local level in terms of making sure that we have, you know, an understanding of how much alcohol is costing a community, you know, and how, you know, really looking at some of the data from law enforcement and understanding how many of those calls for service are alcohol related. And I think when people understand some of the costs, that can be helpful. The same can be true with, you know, health systems and understanding that, and then making decisions on, you know, how dense do we want alcohol outlets? We know there's violence associated with clustering of retail outlets, you know, liquor stores and those kinds of places. So really thinking ahead about, you know, what is it that we want for our community, and making some of those kinds of changes.
Let's bring on a caller. Patty is with us in Hayward. Patty, hello.
Hi. I just had a comment. I just recently moved to Wisconsin, and I'm definitely seeing, I'm retired. I just am definitely seeing like the drinking culture. Well, a few years ago, I was at a festival that was trying to raise money for the program I was involved in, and they were going to be serving alcohol. So I reluctantly agreed, but I'm kind of glad I did it because we had to have some training. And the police officer told me, or told us, that the people that were getting the most DUIs that he was seeing were men that were going off to work in the morning because they had been drinking in the evening, kind of had a high tolerance to it, but still were testing higher. So anyway, that really struck me because I know several people like this. And so I started carrying a breathalyzer around with me. And I don't know, that has seemed to make a difference to people because a lot of these guys are just stunned by how high they still are.
So you, I'm sorry, Patty, you breathalyze your friends and acquaintances? They go for that?
Yeah, why not? Why not? You know what? Because my son-in-law got a DUI for going 45 in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. And my daughter's like, Mom, he seemed okay. He was great. I'm like, well, you, until you see the numbers, you think you're okay, you know? So some people are just barely over. I had one drink the other day, and I was already at a 0.05 because I'm very small. So, yeah, bring it with me. I offer it because I think that the stats speak louder than words.
Patty, thanks a lot for the call. Maureen, Patty sees the difference here in Wisconsin. She's working to do something about it all by herself. What do you think?
Well, I think that's an interesting approach for sure. I know some places, you know, have those breathalyzers, you know, and I think part of it is that people need to know what a serving size is. So they might think they're having one drink, but they're actually having two. Or if it's, you know, there are Elko Pops, there are, we call them kind of a binge drink in a can. So it can be a large can of White Claw or Four Loko, for example, and they can contain 2 to 4 to 5 even drinks. And so your blood alcohol level can get very high very quickly while you're drinking that. So really paying attention to what is a serving size, and really looking at how many you're having. And you know, the CDC has a campaign, be your best, you know, drink less, be your best.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234, talking about Wisconsin's drinking culture and the health impacts of it, possible changes to fix it, with Maureen Buzlaki with the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Maureen, I mentioned briefly a treatment earlier for people who recognize, hey, I'm drinking too much, whether it's binge or chronic drinking. I don't seem to be able to fix this myself. Do we have treatment out there for them when they need it?
I mean, there is treatment in many parts of the state, but I can't say universally that it's easily available. It kind of depends on where you are. We now look at it as an alcohol use disorder, and that there are, you know, kind of a spectrum of that. And so trying to think about, you know, yourself, and how you are with drinking, and, you know, are you not having the relationship you want? Might be a good idea to talk to a healthcare provider. The CDC website also has, you know, kind of a quick quiz to help you also think about that, because it's, you know, sometimes it's not that you have an alcohol use disorder, but that you're, you know, frequently binge drinking, and, you know, you can get into a lot of trouble with that. And so it's important to try to work on that early. So if you think you're having, you know, an issue, you should probably talk to somebody very quickly. And I would always recommend healthcare as a first step.
In just our last minute or so, Maureen, back in the day, I talked to you when you were with Smoke-Free Wisconsin. We've seen the number of smokers in the U.S. Drop by about half for over a 16-year or so period. Are there lessons from public health smoking campaigns that you think could apply to alcohol?
I do. I think there's a combination of really building public awareness, having strong policy, and really having kind of that cross sector where you're working with public health, you're working with health systems, you know, law enforcement, Department of Transportation, and others.
Maureen, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Been talking to Maureen Buzalaki, director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the Medical College of Wisconsin. She talked to us today about Wisconsin's high rates of binge drinking and other alcohol problems, the health consequences, possible policy solutions. Still time for you to share your story, your thoughts on this issue. You can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.